Genesis chapter 3 and 4 are an incredible story. Those two chapters, just an incredible story. You know, I said Genesis, I meant to say Exodus. Yes, I have Genesis on the screen. Okay, that's supposed to be Exodus. Exodus chapter 3. I'm going to read a little bit from chapter 3 and chapter 4. Exodus chapter 3. Favorite stories of the Bible, it would be hard to say what are favorite stories. I suppose that has to do with different times in your life. There are times when scriptures are very precious to you. When I was in the hospital 12 and a half years ago and nearly died of leukemia, there were verses that were especially precious and wonderful to me during that time. When our house burnt, there were verses that stood out to me. You've all seen that in the seasons of life where different verses and stories will minister to you. I love this particular story because it has to do with a hunger of my own, and that is to have encounters with God. I was fortunate to be mentored by Pastor Bishop, Pastor Ronald Bishop. When I say Pastor Bishop, it sounds like maybe he was a bishop. He wasn't. That was his name. Ronald Bishop and Jack Robbins were my mentors. I don't know that you could have two finer mentors. Be curious for them to comment on how I'm doing. I don't know. They may not give me a very good grade. I had pretty good examples. I do believe my concept of God came from my brother Jim, and I shared that in a message a few weeks ago when Jim passed and went to be with the Lord. But I do believe my concept of God came from my brother Jim, my older brother, who was like a father to me when I was young. But I've been fortunate to have some awesome mentors, and within me was formed very early on a hunger for God. To be totally honest with you, I don't mean this to sound disrespectful or anything else, but I was pretty much fed up with the whole church scene, just to be real honest. My dad was a traveling evangelist. He would never say no when he was asked to go to a church. He went to every flavor church there is, and we were exposed to all kinds of things. And to be honest, I'd kind of had it with the whole church scene. I felt like there were a lot of people that gave lip service, claimed to have all kinds of things, powers and gifts, but it didn't seem to be working for them. In my own estimation, it didn't seem to be working for them. And I was hungry to see somebody that life worked for them. And knowing that hunger in my heart, God placed Pastor Ronald Bishop in my life, who had buried two of his sons, who had sat by his wife for 6 years as she was in a coma and sang to her every day. And she passed away after 6 years. And I saw life work in some of the hardest of circumstances. I saw life work in some of the hardest of circumstances, and inside me was born a hunger when that happened. There was a hunger born in me as a young man. I thought, I don't know what that is, but I want it. And what that was the genuine presence of the Holy Spirit is what that was. Do you know that you can go through life and have the shell, but not have anything in it? The church and organization and religious organizations are the shell. They're supposed to house the precious Holy Spirit. But the problem is over the years, we've lost the abiding Holy Spirit, and we've kept the shell. And we polish it, and we make it look very nice, and we invite people to attend it, and we, to a degree, worship that shell. But if the Spirit isn't present, it's empty. Is that off theologically? Is that gutsy of me to say no? In John chapter 20, or excuse me, in Matthew chapter 25, the lamp with no oil. The lamp with no oil. I was fortunate in that I saw some men who modeled who God was, and I saw it work in their life, and that was a powerful thing. Because of that, I have desired encounters with God. I'm telling you, without any backwardness. Having nice things is wonderful, and God has blessed us, and after a fire, given us a beautiful home, far nicer home and property than I ever deserved. I thank God for it every day. Ask Pam, every time we pull out of the driveway, I thank God for the beautiful home he gave, but that is down here. I'm very grateful, but on the list, that is down here. The church has just recently blessed us with a beautiful vehicle. Our other vehicle had almost 250,000 miles on it, and the wheels were coming off of it, and they got us a beautiful vehicle, nicest vehicle we ever had. I mean, I'm like thinking I'm something. I got video on the dash and all kind of cool stuff. Even though I'm very appreciative, that's way down here. I enjoy my material things. I enjoy the horses God's given me. I enjoy the blessings and things material that he's given me. But I want to tell you, there's something that's way up here to me, for me, and that is the value of an encounter with God. In this world today and the difficulties of this life, you've got to have an encounter with God. You've got to get away in your life, in your busy, busy life. And he'll help you. There's always grace to do the right thing. Pastor, you don't know what my life's like. Well, you don't know what mine's like either. And there's grace to do the right thing. You've got to figure out, to carve out a way in your day and seek encounters with God, because he will replenish you and strengthen you and help you with life. Life isn't easy. A lot of you got tough lives. A lot of you have come out of hard times that Brian just sang about. You got difficult things you're dealing with. You're reaping some consequences from not walking with the Lord. We've all been there. You need an encounter with God. Do you know that Adam had an encounter with God and there were no steeples in the Garden of Eden? Can you have an encounter with God at church? Oh, I hope so. I hope we're doing a good enough job here and praying enough that when people come in, they feel like they have a God encounter. But if you're counting on us, don't put that kind of pressure on us. We can't maintain that. There were no steeples in the Garden of Eden, but it says Adam walked with God and had encounters with God. Now, a lot of people use that for an excuse. Well, I don't have to go to church. See, even the pastor even said, the Bible says, fail not to assemble together. Why? Because people who have had encounters need to get together and encourage each other and hug each other. Are you with me? If I've had an encounter and I have the glow of God on my life and I shake your hand, when you walk away, you say, man, that just felt good just to talk with him for a minute, okay? I always ask the Lord, Lord, help people to feel better after they see me than before they see me. I want to bring a presence. Encounters with God. I was fortunate as a young man to be mentored by people who gave me a hunger for encounters with God. We live by the Wabash River down Route 5, Huntington, where the Huntington Reservoir is now, not the Missinawa, but the Huntington Reservoir, not the Salamone, smaller reservoir. And they bought out the property. We lived in a home for free. My daddy didn't have much money. He was a traveling evangelist, and we lived down by the Wabash River in Huntington County. It's where Pam's family and my family got acquainted. Pam's father, Max, used to follow my dad when my dad was in local revival meetings. But my daddy used to walk by the Wabash River. I remember him leaving early, early in the morning. That's kind of a family tradition, I guess, and he would walk and pray. And he would say, Virginia, I got to sort some things out. I'll be back later. I need to go talk with the Lord. Encounters with God. Encounters with God. I don't know how you do it. You got a different life than I. You can relate in different ways. People connect in different ways. We connect to each other in different ways. There's freedom for that. We don't have to copy each other. God doesn't want a bunch of clones. But an encounter with God is critical. Seek it. Don't settle for less. Lord, I want an encounter with you. Boy, you talk about somebody had an encounter. Chapter 3 of Exodus, if you just came in, it's not Genesis, it's Exodus. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. He was a shepherd at this point in time. We won't go into the history of that. There was reason for that, though. He was being humbled on the backside of the mountain, but we'll not go into that. He was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And there the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. God is full of surprises. I love it, how God operates. Don't try to put him in a box. Don't try to box him in. Church organizations and denominations and all that, not knocking them, they've done a lot of good. But I think we like to box stuff up, you know? We like to box stuff up, and this is the box, and you got to be in this box. I'm not talking about rights and wrongs. I'm not talking about any violation of Scripture. We need to come in by the door. We need to come through Jesus. We need to be saved. But I'm talking about encounters with God. God has his own way of ministering to you and to me. He has his own way of connecting, and he's full of surprises. And many times I'll say, Lord, surprise me. I remember one time, and I'll not go into it because the secret of the Lord's with the righteous, and sometimes you share something, it spoils it. But I needed an answer on a very crucial issue. I needed an answer on an issue that I knew was going to cost me a little bit. I needed an answer on an issue that I knew in the ministry that not everyone would understand. I needed an answer that I knew would cause some controversy if I did it, but I felt God was sharing with me, and I said, Lord, I need an answer from you. And I went for a walk that day, and boy, did I have a surprise. Did I have a surprise? I had a visitation. And a surprise, something I never would have expected. If you would have said to me, how will that happen? How will that play out? I wouldn't have thought of that. God's full of surprises. Here he is on a normal day tending sheep. Did you think you had to be in a cathedral for God to speak to you? Did you think you could just be in your normal day? He was tending his father-in-law's sheep, doing his normal job. Did you know you can be standing behind a press at Square D and you can have an encounter with God? Now you say, oh boy, I want him to do that every 30 seconds. He's not going to do that. We get so spoiled, it'd be awful. And there has to be dry times and desert times, and there has to be hardships. And why was the healing 12 and a half years ago that I was so blessed with because of your prayers, why was the healing so blessed and special? Because it was so painful in the experience. The greater the pain, the more blessed the miracle. Does that make sense? And so every day isn't going to be some dynamic encounter, but God will show up in very unusual ways. This is an awesome story. He led the flock to the far side of the desert, and an angel appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. And Moses saw that the transparency disappeared. Sorry, it's the wrong verse anyway. We don't care. Devil always tries that. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. Watch for stuff that's out of the ordinary. This bush just burned and burned and burned, but it didn't burn up. You know, if he'd have been going through all his CDs and checking all these new apps that were available, he might have missed this. Will you receive that from me? If he'd have been answering all the texts he got that morning, he might have missed this. Get the clutter out. You got to make that call. But we need to weed our gardens. A trick of the enemy is to get us so busy mentally that we miss it. God, who loves us, is saying, I was going to give you an encounter, but I couldn't get your attention. Anybody guilty? Been there. Now let me tell you a little secret. He's the God of second chances. I've had times I missed my encounter. I did. I know I did. It made me so mad. I missed my encounter and I'd say, Lord, bring it around again. Bring it around again. Bring it around again. Come on, I messed that up. That customer, I asked you that I'd be Jesus to the customers at Kroger's today 35 years ago. And I sure wasn't Jesus to her. She ticked me off. That's a 10th time she's complained. I've about had enough. Anybody had a day like that? Then God just waits. You know God's a gentleman. God just waits and lets you settle. And then that still small voice says, boy, you weren't very Christ-like to her. Oh, shoot. Could I have another chance? Could you bring it around again? Could I have another opportunity? Don't let the devil steal how loving the Heavenly Father is. He's the God of second chances. Oh, don't argue with me about that. I'm a better grandfather than that. Ask my grandkids if I'll give them another chance. And I'm pitiful compared to him. He's anxious to forgive. He's ready. Moses noticed that the bush didn't burn up. And Moses thought, I'll go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. Listen, this is huge. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, what if he hadn't? This was the birth of an incredible thing. This was the call of Moses, Mike. This was the call of Moses to deliver the Israelites from Pharaoh in Egypt. This is the beginning of the 10 plagues. This is the beginning of the 10 commandments. How big is this event? But God waited to see if he's going to go over and check out the bush or if he's going to stay on his phone. I will go over and see this strange sight, why this bush does not burn up. And when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called from him within the bush, "Moses, Moses, I want to be the guy that's going over to see what's going on with the bush. You with me? I don't want to be so caught up with everything that the thief would present that I miss going over to the bush." I do believe that Jesus goes where he's wanted. He waits to see us. Let's see for a second. We could run off on this a long time. We won't long, but I want you to see that this is a pattern in Scripture. God waits to be sought. Do you remember what Jesus said to the woman at the well? "The true worshipers worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father seeketh such to worship him." Remember that? He's looking for a certain thing. Don, he's looking for the guy who says, "I don't care what all's going on here with the sheep right now. I'm going to go see what's going on with this bush because I think that Jehovah Jireh is going to show up and I don't want to miss a second of it." Anybody like that? Anybody like that? I believe we're blessed with a number of people like that. Is that consistent in Scripture? Yes, it is. Kathy, I'm in a name calling today. Did you notice that? The road to Emmaus. Remember when he came with the disciples and walked with them and they didn't recognize him? It said he would have gone on. But they said, "No, no, no, stay with us." What would they have missed? He would have gone on. Don't tell me he doesn't want to be wanted. But doesn't that make sense? I want to be wanted. We're made in the image of God. I want to be wanted. You treat me rude at your house very many times, I won't hate you and I'll still be nice to you, but I won't come anymore. No. I want to be wanted. He's inviting us. Don't miss it. Don't clutter your life to a level. We're Americans. Life is messy. Mike, your turn. I used to feel sorry for the Haitians. All these poor people. Daddy told me when he was a missionary there how the Haitian pastors would say, just to show you how they view America, they'd say when they die, they want to go to heaven, but they want to stop by America on the way. They viewed it. Pastor Viljan, you remember him? Daddy trained him years ago, elderly man, now godly man. We think the world of him. We still send him support and help. When he and Maxine came here to the United States, after they'd been all over and Daddy traveled and took them to churches, said, "What impressed you both about America?" Said, Maxine almost started to cry. He said, "The wheat fields in Kansas." He said, "They're miles. They carve out a little living. You, Charity, you've been in Haiti. They carve out a little living out between the rocks and try to grow a little tree and a little bush to get some fruit. And the miles of wheat." He said, "The wheat fields in Kansas were just overwhelming. Overwhelming. Where in the world was I talking about?" My wife's not here to help me. I'm in big trouble. I don't know what I was talking about. He waits for us to seek him. I'll go back to that and it'll come back to me. But it hasn't come back to me yet. Jesus goes where he's wanted. He goes where he's wanted. The Emmaus Road. He would have gone on. The three visitors to Abraham, remember? The three angels that came to him. It was when Abraham went to them and said, "Come to my house, come to my house. I'll go kill a goat and I'll prepare a meal for you and prepare you a nice meal." And he invited them in. It was then that the great revelation came of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah and the promise of the son, Isaac, to be given. There's something to this whole invitation thing. I used to feel sorry for Haitians. I just thought, I need to come back. I used to feel sorry for Haitians. And then I realized a few times when we landed in the States, which would make me cry, after seeing the poverty in Haiti. I remember the first time going to Haiti, and we landed in Miami, and they came over the intercom and said, "Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the United States." I started crying. I thought, man, what a beautiful place we live, you know. But the more trips I've made, and I've gone 15 times in the last 5 years, the more trips I've gone, the more I realize that the simplicity of life there, I think, a person, even though there's hardships, I think it might be easier to be true to God in the simplicity of the life there. Because we've got so much, and there's so much clutter, and there's so much going on, and we're so busy. I'm afraid that many, many times we're missing the time when the Lord would have eaten with us like the road to Emmaus. And they saw his face aglow and that he was the Christ. And we missed the revelation of the burning bush because off we got to be here, we got to be here. I ain't got time to mess this silly bush, and I don't know what that's about. It's on fire. I'm not sure what that's about, but we're just going to go on. We got to get our day done, and we're missing the encounters. American life is messy. Ask the author of wisdom, James chapter 1, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth liberally and upbraideth not, it shall be given him. That's a promise. James chapter 1, verse 5. Ask for the wisdom to build a life where there's encounters with God. I did that as a young man. Fortunate to have those mentors and had a desire for God. And I said, Lord, help me to build a life where I have regular encounters with you, and it's been life-changing. And when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, I'll be back in a few minutes. I've got stuff to do. Moses said, here I am. And God said, do not come any closer. Take off your sandals, for the place you are standing is holy ground. Do you know that God can instantly purify the ground around you? Pastor, you don't know the smutty mouth factory I work in. Do you know that God can purify the ground around you in a second? I am the Lord your God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face, and he was afraid to look at God. Stay with me. And the Lord said, I indeed have seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. Did you know God's concerned about your suffering? Well, I thought he'd have bailed me out by now if he's so concerned. God's doing the bigger picture. While my brother Jim was laying, no disrespect meant, but with his head caved in from the missing part of his skull, and laying for hours on end, there was a softening going on in his oldest son that we are now seeing. And for the first time, his oldest son and his wife are coming to spend Christmas with the family who have been estranged for years. Did you know that he sees your suffering, but he's doing bigger things a lot of times? That's what faith is. Faith says, God, I believe you know what you're doing. We're so quick to say, well, this doesn't look right to me. You know, if God's the God of love, I can understand for the life of me why in the world the pastor's house burned down. He had leukemia in the same year. How in the world could God? Well, I had somebody come to my bedside, and they were well-meaning, and they chewed me out, kind of. And they said, I cannot believe all the people. I've seen you help people for years. I'm not saying bragging. I'm just telling you what they said. They said, I've seen you give money to people and you didn't have money. I've seen you borrow money to help people. And here you are with leukemia. And then after that, your house burns down. What in the world is going on? Faith says, I believe God knows what he's doing. There was some bigger things going on. Out of that was born the book, The Day I Was Blessed with Leukemia. 9,000 copies have been given out by request of that book. I think I shared with you a few weeks ago, I just got a letter from a guy in Miami County Jail. I have no idea how he got it. He gave his heart to the Lord reading that book. There's value in that process. I see your suffering. Some of you are going through some difficult things. Sometimes it's our own making, and weather it out. You'll learn some valuable lessons. Just a little sidelight. I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and bring them out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. The home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites. Important difference. Hivites and the Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. Stay with me. So now go, I'm sending you to Pharaoh. Did you know that a God encounter will result in an assignment? Often. I don't know why God doesn't give me anything to do. It seems like God uses everybody else and doesn't give me anything to do. You just quit worrying about if you got anything to do, and you seek encounters with God, and you'll get your assignment, don't you worry. God will bring your assignment at the proper time. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. And Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Humble man. There's some history to that. He hadn't always been that way. He had been prideful growing up in the house of Pharaoh. If you know anything about the history, we can't go back to it now. But Moses had grown up very prideful, and he was educated in the costly, expensive schools, and he was very prideful and took things into his own hands, and he's now at the backside of the mountain as a shepherd. But he has a humble spirit. And he says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? And God said, I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this very mountain. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of our fathers has sent me to you. And they said, what is his name? What shall I tell them? And God said to Moses, I am that I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. Tell them, I am has sent you. Encounters with God. Encounters with God. I believe a true encounter with God will have an assignment attached. There's lots of ways we can go with this. I want to follow the leading of the Spirit. But it's interesting, he said, who should I say sent me? Tell him I am sent me. Boy, there's lots of messages preached from that. I am who I am. I am the existing one. There's lots of meaning in this I am that I am. Present tense. I'm always with you. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The context of this, and I preached on this probably 10, 12 years ago at Skinner Chapel. The context of this phrase in the Hebrew, you know, the Old Testament was originally in Hebrew and the New Testament was originally in Greek. So it's good sometimes to go back and read the context. Part of the meaning in the statement of God's name, I am that I am, is I save in the manner in which I save. I save in the manner in which I save. Stay with me. Trust that. I'm presently with you. I am. I'm the existing one. I'll always be with you, but I will save in the manner in which I save. I will do this in the manner in which I please. Are you listening? Don't say it has to be at this altar. I may want to show up in a bush. Don't say it has to be at this altar. I may show up at your press at the factory or your office in your cubicle. I save in the manner in which I save. Boy, were they going to find out that's true. It wasn't long after that, following the 10 plagues, Moses is leading the children of Israel. There's 1.5 million of them. And they're backed up against the Red Sea. And he calls out to God. And the Egyptian army is coming, and the dust is bellowing of the above as the chariots are coming in masses. And he cries out to God. Who would have ever dreamed that God would part the sea and make a wall of water on each side? I save in the manner in which I save. I'll do it the way I decide to do it. I am. Trust me. I am. Not past, not future. I am. I'm present. I'm always with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Who would have ever dreamed? If you'd have called out to Moses and said, how do you think God's going to pull this off? And they were fearing that they would be destroyed. And here come the Egyptians. And God parted the water. And they went across in dry land. Who would have ever imagined that? And then he drowned the Egyptian army in that water when they were in the midst of it pursuing. One has estimated that it would take 50 boxcar loads of food a day to feed the children of Israel. 50 boxcar loads a day to feed the children of Israel, 1.5 million of them in the desert. I save in the manner in which I save. And Moses called out to God and said, Lord, the people are hungry. Who would have ever dreamed that he would rain vanilla wafers? Would you have thought of that? In fact, they named it manna, which is the Hebrew, what is it? They went out and these things are all over the ground. And somebody, I remember Daddy acting this out years ago, somebody picks one up, and probably a kid, and tastes it. These are good. Manna. What is it? And he fed him for 40 years with manna. I save in the manner in which I save. You might be sitting there today with a hunger in you like I had in me as a young man. And you might be sitting there saying, well, I want to see those things happen. Do you know how that starts? Do you think I get special visitations because I'm a pastor? No, God's no respecter of persons. Now, we have different callings, and he'll give us different things related to our calling. But I want you to know that the save in the manner in which you save and the raining of vanilla wafers and the parting of the Red Sea and the bush that would not go out starts with an encounter with God where you say, you know what? I don't care what my schedule book says. I'm going to go see why that bush will not quit burning. The Father seeketh such to worship him, John chapter 4. The true worshipers worship the Father in spirit and truth. It's the material stuff's down here, the job's down here, the making money's down here, the having money's down here, the having things is down here. Oh, nothing wrong with having some things. I love the things I have. Enjoy them very, very much. But there's something that's up here, and it's not even on the same list. Vince, it's on a different page, and that's the encounters with God in his presence. And you know what I found out? I found out when you're in a hospital room, for 31 days quarantine, and everyone has to wear masks and gloves to come into your room. And they're saying you're not going to live. And you don't have your horse. And you don't have any video games. I don't like them anyway. And you don't have any of your stuff. And you're in a place that isn't home. And you're miles away from home. That God can move in the middle of the night. And your time in that room will be so precious. That when they told me I could get out for Christmas, I cried when I walked through the door because I said, Lord, will you ever be this close again? I don't want to leave this spot. There's something up here that we need to be seeking. My goal is, why do I passionately speak and why do I share and maybe sometimes go too far, is that I want to see a hunger born in you. There was a hunger born in me 35 years ago, Howard. There was a hunger born in me, and we used to hang out with Pastor Bishop 40 years ago, there was a hunger born in me as I watched my father go through some things and still be kind when he was mistreated and still be good to people when they shafted him. And there was something born in me, and I said, I don't know what that is, but I want it. And I'll tell you, I know what it is now. It's the blessed Holy Spirit. God wants you to seek the pearl of great price, and he's looking for the person that says, I'm going to go see what's going on with this bush. And when you start having encounters with God, and that becomes a priority in your life, then he'll start saving in the manner in which he saves. He'll start doing things in a new way and in a different way. Well, it's 2012. I'm going to go ahead with this story in future. I want to preach a New Year's message on the staff. Moses had the staff in his hand. You know, Moses, like Doubting Thomas here, he needed proof all the time. God, how are you going to do this? You know, and he argued with God some. You can get by with a little of that if you're reverent. He argued with God some, said, I'm not a very good speaker. You want me to go to Pharaoh, but I'm not very good speaker. And God fussed with him about it, if I can paraphrase a little bit, and said, don't tell me who you are, you know. And in Psalms it says, I made your mouth, you know. So he said, how about my brother Aaron? Could he help me? And he did allow that. And he kind of fussed with God. But there's some neat things. But the passage that I really like is where he said, what is that in your hand, Moses? What is that in your hand? And I'm going to close with that today, because I'm going to talk about that then in a New Year's message, looking at 2018. Well, he's a shepherd. What do you mean, what's that in your hand? He's a shepherd. Hang on, I got one over here. Somebody bought me this years ago. Man bought me this, is with the Lord. Now, they're supposed to have a little crook thing on the end of them. This is a fancy one. God said, what's that in your hand, Moses? Well, it's a staff. Of course it's a staff. That's my tools for being a shepherd. And there's a hook on the end of it. And I get a lamb over the edge of the ridge there. I can reach around and grab them and kind of pick them up, pull them back. And I can bump them when they need to. And I can chastise them a little bit if I need to. And he said, what's that in your hand? He said, it's a rod. It's a staff. He said, you throw that on the ground. Throw it on the ground. He threw it on the ground, and it became a snake. He said, grab it by the tail. I save in the manner in which I save. Don't box him up. Don't box him up. He's unpredictable. Isn't he, Patty? He's unpredictable. Not unpredictable in the sense that he's not dependable. We have to be careful with that word. He'll save in the manner in which he saves. Just about time you think he's going to send an atomic explosion, he'll part the water behind you, and you go through that way. Just about the time you think he's going to feed you a certain way and have everybody show up with their lunch, you'll look up and say, what's that stuff raining out of the sky? Hey, those are wafers. What's in your hand? I want to ask you that this morning. What's in your hand? Oh, I got to be gifted. I've got to go off and get a lot of education. Oh, there's a place for that in time. What's that in your hand? Well, it's a staff. I use that every day. I'm a shepherd. When I go to work, this is my main tool. Throw it out there. Take the ordinary, that thing that's part of you. The thief wants to steal that truth from you. He thinks you got to have something special, something. No, what's that in your hand? A normal thing. A normal thing. Throw it out there and watch a miracle happen. So an encounter with God is so critical. Hunger after those things, not material things. Hunger after those things, not money, not success. An encounter with God is so critical. And when you start having an encounter with God, you're going to get an assignment, and he's going to say his name to you, and he'll save, and the manner in which he saved will start to come into play in your own life. And some of you to walk very far with the Lord, I see you nodding, because you've had that happen. Though he begins saving in the manner in which he saves. He begins doing things in a way that you didn't expect, but he expects you to step out in faith, and you got to take what you got a hold of, charity, and you got to throw it out. You got to throw it out there. What is it in your hand? I don't know. I'm a pharmacist. I'm a mother. Give it to me. Let go of it. To throw it out there, you release it. See the surrender in that? Now, it's interesting that it turned to a snake. You talk about saving the manner in which I save. What? That doesn't seem to go with this story. And it says he ran from it. Did you know the minute you throw out what you have onto the Lord, you're going to have fear overtake you? The minute you take that step of faith, the minute you take that thing close to your heart and say, I'm going to surrender it, I'm going to give it, I'm going to throw it out there. It says he ran from it. God will begin doing things in your life, and boy, that can be kind of fearful, because this changes everything. That can be kind of, oh, mercy, I'm scared of that. Mercy, I didn't know this was going to happen. How did I get into this? He said, grab it by the tail. Wouldn't you like to have seen that? And he grabbed it by the tail, and it became a staff again. He said, now go talk to Pharaoh. And from then on, he carried that staff with him. I want to tell you, we can get mixed up in this idea that, oh boy, I gotta have some unusual giftedness. And I'm not knocking that. There's a time for that. I gotta have some unusual giftedness. What's in your hand? What's in your hand? I go into Home Depot in Logansport, and I see our buddy over here, and he's using what's in his hand. I see you being kind to people, and from your wheelchair, there at that office, I've watched you a lot of times. And I'll go in there and I'll just kind of see you over there, and you're always starting a conversation with somebody and you got a big smile. What's in your hand? Well, I'm in a wheelchair. I even have trouble getting around. Why should I have to deal with all this hassle? What's in your hand? The public, every day, walking in, I see you doing it. I see you doing it. It starts with God encounters. It starts with God encounters. Weed to Garden, 2018, seek his face. Don't make work out of it. It's a relationship. Don't make drudgery out of it. It's a relationship. But begin having God encounters. Go into it with no expectation, for he'll save in the manner in which he saves. Go into it with no expectation, except, Lord, I want to meet you. Whatever that looks like. Whatever that looks like. And you might go days and days and days and days and days, and you think, well, boy, I haven't had any throw it on the ground miracle become a snake experience. As you're faithful and you follow God, you'll encounter him in the way that he wants you to encounter him, because he saves in the manner in which he saves. I am that I am. All right, I need to quit. Next week we'll have something I think God's given us for the Christmas Sunday. And then I'd like probably the first Sunday in January, I guess actually it would be the 31st, maybe talk about this story again. This is a great story. I'd encourage you, if you're a little dried up in your devotions, and you can that can happen. Now, that's not God's doing. It's just that we're creatures of habit sometimes. Well, where should I read? And I know this story. And I'd encourage you to go back and read here in Exodus. Now, that's a powerful, powerful story, the call of Moses. There's a lot of things we're missing. A lot of things we're seeing. There's a lot of things we're missing. That's an awesome story. It's time to close. Let's stand together for prayer. Lord, thank you for this Sunday. Thank you for the beautiful children up front. It's just cool to see the kids participating and just enjoy them so very, very much. And we thank you for that. Thank you for each one here today. I trust that each one here has felt loved most of all by you. And hopefully that's been through us. Pray you take the things we've said today and melt anything that was said in the flesh. I'm not aware of anything, but I don't want to waste these people's time, and I want to be led of the Spirit. And so if there's anything said in the flesh, melt that away. May they just forget it, anything that was said in the flesh. But those things that are said in the Spirit, which I believe a majority, if not all, was, that I'd ask that would be embedded in their heart. I'd ask that a hunger would be born within us. Lord, I would want to go back to prayer time at Open Altar again for a minute. And that person, several came forward, and who that person might be, who the thief took something. Take it back. Take it back. The thief wants to come in and take away our confidence and take away those special times we've had with God. In Jesus' name, I ask that you would restore those who came forward and those in their pews or in seats who felt that something has been stolen. My guess is there are a number could relate to that. Use this message, guide us as we go from this place, and watch over us this week. It's going to be a busy week for everyone, and may we seek you with our heart. Now may the Lord bless and keep you. Lord, make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you, and the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.